Welcome to And With Your Spirit, a homily podcast that takes preaching out of the sanctuary and moves it into your daily life. Let us make ourselves open to the voice of Christ and the movement of the Holy Spirit, that we might be transformed.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Lord be with you. Good evening, everyone. I don't think the lights are intentionally low, but it's kind of nice to have this intimate setting in a very, very large church space. Tonight we gather on a feast day of Saint Scholastica, but also the eve of the feast day of Our Lady of Lourdes tomorrow, one of my favorites. I was going to preach about that one, but I thought, no, I don't want to cheat Scholastica and her day, right? Because you can go to Mass tomorrow somewhere else if you want to, and Mary will get her day. She has 15,000 days every year anyway, so which you deserve, Mary. Anyways. Tonight we celebrate St. Scholastica's feast day in particular, calling to mind how wonderful and holy this woman was and the power of her faith in God's providence. For the times where we have been less than faithful, less than patient, less than trusting that God is going to provide for us, for our family, for our workplaces, for our community and our world, let us call to mind our sins. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus went to the district of Tyre, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know about it, but he could not escape notice. Soon a woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him. She came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to drive the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the food of children and throw it to the dogs." She replied and said to him, "Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's scraps." Then he said to her, "For saying this, you may go. The demon has gone out of your daughter." When the woman went home, she found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. The Gospel of the Lord. Why aren't our churches full? That's a big topic for a mass homily, but I want to answer that question at the end. Why aren't our churches bursting at the seams if we have what we say that we have? A bunch of things happened to me this week, and the readings tonight help correlate those things. You know, usually they tell us in seminary that the first person you're preaching to whenever you give a homily is yourself, right? And as an extroverted person, the more I talk about things, the more they make sense to me. And so if you're ever wondering, as you hear Father Tyler preach, you hear me preach, man, he seems like he's just kind of going on this journey and his thoughts are kind of going together. That's because they kind of just are, you know? I got a direction, but we're getting there. Anyways, there's a lot of beautiful things that happened this week and some things that are really tough too. But the readings tonight help them make sense. And I think they all aim at the same direction of that question. So here we go. This week, a woman came to me. And not a parishioner of mine, but someone who's connected to my parish. She's not been to church in a long time, or she's basically been out of the church for a long time. And she wanted to come and meet about some things. And usually as a priest, that means yikes, right? Schedule something after that 45-minute meeting so you have to end it, you know? But I didn't. I didn't have anything, and I was going to give her the time. And so we sat down and talked, and basically she said, I stopped going to church a long time ago. I've had some rough things happen to me in my life. And every time I've come back to the church to get help when I needed it, the priest I went to was horrible to me. Different priests over time. And I don't say that lightly. And maybe you've had that experience, your parish priest or some priest or deacon or some other person in the church just being unappreciative or mean or short or dismissive or worse. Anyways, as she told me those things, she spoke for a long time and kind of got it all out. And then when she got done, she asked me a very pointed question so why does the church have to do X, right? And I didn't want to answer the question because the first thing I wanted to tell her was, I said, what happened to you by those priests, your experience, that was wrong, and they'll never tell you sorry. So I'm sorry. And I'm not saying that that earns me a gold star or something, but she needed to hear that. And that comment opened an hour and a half long discussion after that. By the end of that meeting, I felt pretty drained, to be honest, but yet filled too, you know, a good workout, right? Exhausted, but renewed, and that happened. And I was thinking about that meeting with her the rest of the week now. How many of those women exist out there? How many of those people exist out there? How many people who used to come to church when they were young don't come anymore? And how many of it's because of people like me? And how do I fix it, right? And then we hear the gospel tonight, right? Jesus has a woman come to him. And what is his reaction? She says, "Can I have a miracle?" And God, right, the person who can help her, he says to her, "It's not right to take good food and give it to," what, right, dogs? Jesus, literally, right? Come on, you know? I mean, when you hear that gospel passage, you think like, surely not, like surely the author like got that one wrong, right? The story got told over generations, over decades, and like, wrong word there, right? Like, sorry, Mark, but no, man, like, change that word, right? Surely that's not what he said. And so you mull over that, right? Like, how would that be helpful to bring a person into faith by calling her that? Because even if you go back to the ancient times, dog meant the same thing that we mean today. When you call someone a dog, in the diminutive way, you're saying, like, someone who's no good, you know? You get it, right? It's never a compliment. And Jesus says that tonight in the gospel. He says, it's not right to throw food to dogs. And then in the first reading tonight, Solomon, who's inherited David's entire fortune, plus his covenantal promise that someone will be on that throne forever, not just for a while, not just until the Messiah, forever, right? It means into heaven, which Jesus is the son of David, which is the son of Joseph, so therefore forever, right? He's inherited the promise, but also all the gold, silver, cedar, everything he needs to build the temple. We hear the saddest line you could ever say of someone in Scripture. His heart was no longer close to the Lord. We hear it twice, but JP read it twice. His heart had turned away from the Lord, was no longer close to the Lord. When you die, wouldn't that be the worst thing that someone could say? Their heart was no longer close to the Lord. Actually, there's a priest who's buried, I think up in Jasper. I think it's up in Jasper, because it's German on the tombstone. And it said, like a quote from the priest himself, it said, "If I lived as I should have, I will be in heaven. And if you live as I have taught you, you'll be there too." Our hearts need to stay close. Jesus seems to not be making her heart close in this moment. The Greek word here, I had to go look this up, right? The Greek word here for dog, there's actually kind of two different versions of saying the word dog in Greek. This, there's kind of two types of dogs in the ancient times in their categories. There's like the wild dogs, mutts that cause trouble and people put down today, right? And then the other kind of dog was like the little lap dog that you'd have in your house, like a pet, right? The Greek word here he used is actually that one. It's the Greek word for like a little lap dog, like a part of the family, as we would say. You know, like we're way too far there, right? You've heard Pope Francis recently said, right? Like, get rid of your dogs and start having kids again, right? Anyways, so it's like the happier word. It's like the precious word that he's saying, like, it's not right. Well, then is he calling her that? Well, in the old times, when you sat at the table and you'd eat, you didn't have forks and knives and napkins. You would eat with your hands. And so when you got done eating your food, how would you clean your hands? Bread. You would take old bread from the morning, especially if this was at dinner, and you would wipe your hands in bread. In fact, Bishop Siegel, whenever he has the chrism mass down at the cathedral, I think he still uses, after he does all the chrism, or actually whenever he does anointing of priests, whenever he does our hands, he takes his hands, washes them in lemon juice and water, and then soaks them or dries them off with bread. You don't see that because it's up behind on the credence table, but he still uses that, right? That's an ancient custom. And then after you got done drying your hands or washing them off on bread, what would you do with the bread? If you have a dog, you'd throw it on the ground, right? Or if you're still really hungry, you might just go ahead and, if you're a teenage boy, you might eat the bread, right? You just wiped your spaghetti hands on. So you would throw it down to the floor. Like, because, in other words, the dog only ate, not because you bought Purina back then, the dog only ate if you provided enough for him. And if you like him or her, the dog, if you liked them, if you had them in your house, you would plan to not eat at all so that they could have something. So Jesus, in this moment, is saying to everyone who's gathered, who he's trying to escape from, but he can't go without notice. He's saying to them, we will always provide, right, for even the least in our own household. Why would God not provide for you? And so she manifests her faith. And by manifesting her faith, the miracle is worked. Here's St. Scholastica really fast too. She went to visit her brother right before she died, St. Benedict, in Italy. When she went down to visit him, he took some other monks with him. They went down to her house. They didn't ever stay outside their cells, very strict monastic discipline. And they were staying there at night. They were talking all day. And Scholastica and Benedict's sister and brother wanted to stay up all night talking about holy things. But Benedict said, no, my rule says I must sleep in my cell every night. And so I'm going to go home. She didn't like that. So she said, no, brother, you're staying here. Nuns always get their way. So she said, yeah, you're staying here. And so she laid her head on the table, put her head on her hands, and started praying. As soon as she started praying, lightning struck, thunderstorm, and she goes, go ahead home, brother. Be my guest. And he looks at her and says, sister, what have you done? And she said, you wouldn't listen to me, so I asked God, and he listened to me. Stay and talk with me. He stayed the night. They talked about holy things all night. 3 days later, she died. She died. And when St. Gregory the Great, the Pope, wrote about this in the year 580-ish, when he wrote about this, about St. Scholastica, he said, St. Scholastica was received the miracle because she loved more. Because she loved more, she gained more. Okay, so why aren't our churches full? I think the answer to that is because we're sinners. If God had our patience, if God had our love, if God had our generosity, that wouldn't be God. And if people look at us and say, they follow God, they are God's hands and heart and mouth and feet and eyes on earth, they are the ambassadors for Christ, and that's how they live, God must not be really that great. This woman that I talked with this week, I think that's what she experienced. I'm in need. I want something more. I know the church offers more. I'm going to go to the ambassador, the one who's wearing he's wearing the collar, right? He's fully dedicated. And then that man says, no. I think the only way that we ever fill our churches, that we ever get our kids to come back to the faith, the only way that we ever effect change anywhere is if we manifest the God that we believe in. I think it was Leon Bloy who said, the only real great tragedy in this world is not to become a saint. On St. Scholastica's feast day, let's all strive for that.